As we look at this song we just sang, we find a number of things there that you could talk about. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. And then we sing hallelujah, hallelujah, you know, widely as his mercy goes. Praise with us the God of our grace. Do we do that? Do we praise God of the grace and the mercy that he has given us? Do we praise God of the mercy and the grace that he bestows upon us each day? And many times we have to say no. We take it for granted, or we seem to take it for granted. And the thing is that God is there for us day by day. God is there waiting for us to call upon him. God is there waiting for us so he can show us his grace and his mercy. And as we read in the Exodus, the Ten Commandments, God's law that was given at Sinai to Moses, God's law that was given to the Jews of that day, the Israelites, and they were told to follow them. We see Paul telling us that he came and he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, Christ crucified. Christ died for our sins. The doctrine of the crucifixion and salvation of Jesus Christ is that Christ came into the world. He died on the cross for us. He rose again the third day. He made intercession he ascended into heaven and is making intercession there for you and for me. Why is he doing it? Because of his love for us. How do we have that love in us and around us? It's through faith. The faith we have that Christ did all these things, just as Scripture says they did. Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill it. And as we look a little bit at his life here on earth, we look at Psalm 22. And Psalm 22, we aren't going to read the whole thing. I'm not going to ask you to stand because I'm going through different verses in there. But we want to find that this is the chief shepherd who was willing to come and die for us, willing to give himself for us. We want to remember that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created it all. And then on the sixth day, he says, let us, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, take and make man in our own image. So he says, from dust we were taken, to dust we will return, and from dust we will once again revive and come back to life. So he takes this dust of the earth and puts it together, and he breathes into that dust pile the breath of life. God says we will make man in our image. As we look at each other, we are in the image of God, created and made for him, to glorify him and to uphold his name in all that we think, say, or do. We ask God to watch over us and keep us. We know all about God, but do we know God? Do we know Jesus Christ? You see, we've read the stories. We've seen the things. And once again, David, some 500 years or better before Jesus was born, writes the 22nd Psalm. In there is a prophecy of Jesus' crucifixion, of Jesus' resurrection, of Jesus' return to earth and to set up his earthly kingdom. We see that Christ died for the past sins, the present sins, and the future sins of the whole world. And on that cross, as he died there, He did it for you, and he did it for me. And as we look at this portion of Scripture, we find that God wants us to realize that even in the Psalms, as nice as they are, and as much fun as they are to read, and as uplifting and encouraging as they are, there is so much prophecy in them. Prophecy of what Christ did, what he has done, what he's going to do, and that he's coming again to take and watch over his own people. Those that have accepted him, that they don't only know about him, they know Jesus Christ. As Paul said, it's through faith in the cross of Christ that we have salvation. It's faith through what Christ did on the cross that we have eternal life. It's faith through that cross and through the resurrection, through what Christ did on the cross, paying for our sin, that we can be imitators of Jesus Christ and how he died for us once and for all. We have a choice. We can either follow him or we can reject him. There's no middle ground. You either follow Christ or you don't. And if you say, I know all about him and I will make up my mind later, that means you're not following him. If you say, I want to follow him, but I don't want to accept him as my Lord, you're not following him. You see, Paul tells us that in last days, there will be people with itching ears. They want to hear about Christ, but they don't want to be told that they have to give their heart and life to Jesus Christ. So as we look at Psalm 22, we see this as a psalm that is a chief psalm, chief shepherd psalm. It is one David was writing and calling upon God and showing how God not only seemed to be far away from him, yet David knew God was with him. He knew that God was watch over him and God would take care of him. So as we go through portions of this scripture, let us find and realize that it's by grace that we're saved through faith. As it tells us in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, it is by grace that you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift. Remember that. It is the gift of God. We can't buy it. There's no way we can earn it. There's nothing we can do which would make us good enough for it. It's God's gift to us. And in that gift, God says, if you have faith in my son Jesus and what he did on the cross, and if you accept him for what he did on the cross, your sins will be forgiven and your sins will be remembered no more. And as you pray and study the Word of God, you will find that the nearer you draw to God, the nearer he draws to you. And the more that you draw to God, you find Satan will flee from you. Satan is going to do everything he can to stop you from following God, to stop you from reading his Word, to stop you from thinking about him. Because Satan does not want you to think about eternity. Satan does not want you to think about your life after the life here on earth. And yet, that life goes on forever and forever with no end. Where are you going to spend it? As David starts out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? And my words are my groanings. You see, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we look and we say, Jesus was the Son of God. Did God forsake him? God had to forsake him because he took on the sin of the world that had been, the present sins, and all the sins that was coming after him. He took our sins of the world, our sin, on him on that cross that day, on that day that he died for us. He gave his life. And as he was forsaken for those few moments by God, because God is pure and holy, and God says, I will not allow sin to be in my world. I will not allow sin to be in my kingdom. Jesus fought Satan there on the cross. Remember, before Jesus went to the cross, he said, all power has been given unto me on heaven and on earth. I can lay my life down and I can pick it up again. And that's what I will do for you. You see, he paid that penalty that we couldn't pay. He paid that penalty of sin that we had no intention of paying. And in doing that, he left heaven above and left his glory and laid aside all his glory to come down to earth to live like you and I, as a man in the flesh. And he died a man in the flesh, but in spirit he paid that penalty for our sin. He paid that penalty and he overcome Satan, that Satan could not take anything from him. If you look back when Jesus was baptized, it says he was tempted 3 times by Satan. And Jesus says, it is written, you shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And in that, Satan left him for a few moments. And Satan did everything he could through Jesus' ministry to stop Jesus' ministry from going forward. He took and he had the leaders of that land tell, Lord, if you are the Son of God like you claim you are, give us a sign. Show us that you are the Son of God. How many signs did Jesus give them? He did not sin. He healed the sick. He raised the dead, he healed the blind, and he did many, many more works. When the woman was caught in adultery, they come to him and they says, Jesus, according to our law, this woman should be killed. What do you say? And Jesus says, whoever one of you is sinless, don't have any sin, you cast the first stone. And they, from the eldest to the least, dropped their stones and left. Jesus said to the woman, where is your accusers? And she says, there are none. And Jesus says, I don't accuse you, but I tell you, go and do not sin anymore. Do not go out and commit adultery, but live for Jesus. Live for the righteousness of God. Do you think that woman felt she had a new life? I think she did. We see the same thing when the woman came and poured ointment on Jesus' feet, and we can go through many, many of them. But here we hear David crying to God, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we find that Jesus had cried out to God the Father the same way, because Jesus had the sin of the world on him. He was black with sin, dark and dirty with sin of the world. And he says, I am dying for you and for everyone, that they can have peace with God. You see, Christ came in his glory, and he left his glory in heaven. He came in here, was like a man, and he lived like we did without sin. He died paying that penalty for us. He was beaten, he was stripped, he was made fun of, he was spit upon, and he was whipped 39 times. He was just about dead when he was hung on a cross. Yet, he had told the thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise. My God, why have you forsaken me?" Because you do not like sin, and you will not have sin in you. And he goes on, "All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, 'He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him.'" Jesus said, "I am the Son of the living God." He told the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people that. And now these same leaders that's supposed to know better and know the word are saying, if he's really the Son of God and God really wants him, he'll come down from the cross. You see, they did not believe and they did not accept anything that God or Christ had done, even though Christ had healed the sick and raised the dead, cast out demons. They did not accept any of that as signs from God. They did not want Christ in their world. Just like today, we have many, many people that don't want Christ in their world. Yet, God says, "My will be done. My word goes out and it will not come back void, but it will accomplish what I sent it out to be." And as we see this, we see the people and many of the leaders of our land today that are purposely having blinders over their mind and they are not seeing what is going on. They cannot see God's hand in what's going on. They cannot see God's hand in the mercy and the grace that he gives his children. They cannot see God's hand in taking care of those and giving peace to those who trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They're trying to make us all fearful for some reason so that we would follow them and follow man. But God says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me." And we go on further on down in this chapter, and it says, "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it has melted within me. My strength is dried like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaw. You have brought me to the dust of death." You see, Jesus was thirsty, and he says, "I thirst." They brought to him sour vinegar, and it says he had tasted it, he did not drink, because it was not glorious water. It was not something that would help him. Jesus had been dehydrated. He had been beaten. He had been almost to the point of death. He had to have a man help carry his cross to Calvary. And there they nailed him to the cross and they lifted him up from the earth. And he says, "If I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people unto myself, that where I am, there they may be if they believe and trust in what the work I am doing, which is a dying for your sin." You see, Christ came down and became man. And in becoming man, he died in sin. And he did it so that we, as man, can be lifted up and become Christ-like, because we have Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We look at Adam. Adam was pure and holy when he was created, but he gave his life to Satan. And so degradation started, and sin entered the world. There was no way that it could be paid except through Jesus Christ. And that plan was made long before salvation. The plan of salvation was made long before the earth began, or before creation started. And we find then that as God spoke through Isaiah, and he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and the Lord will have mercy on him, and our Lord will abundantly pardon him of all his sin. If we turn our heart and our life to Christ, we say, we look at the world today and we find so many things going on, and we go in and we find we have to do this, or they want you to do this or that. And we find it's not what's helping, but it's man trying to solve man's problem. And man cannot solve man's problem because of sin. When Christ was crucified, it says he was nailed to the cross. And in that nailing to the cross, he never had one bone broken in his body. But they were torn apart and he was stretched out to no end. Yet God watched over him and kept him and had mercy on him. He fought that battle of sin for you and for me. And then we can go on, and he says, I can count all my bones. They look and they stare at me, and they divide my garments among them. We find that the centurions took Jesus' clothing, and because his coat was made in one piece, instead of cutting it, they wanted to have it in one piece, and so they cast lots, or they cast dice, to see who would get it. And through it, then that coat was given to one person. And I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. We see Christ not only died, came back, and the disciples, because the Jews rejected Jesus' word and they rejected the gospel, the Jews went to the Gentiles, to us, and gave us salvation through Jesus Christ, and has given it to us now for a little over 2,000 years. We see Israel coming back as a nation. God says, I will call you back to your own land. And he's been doing that. And God says, I will come again. And it's all in there as we read the rest of the psalm and parts of it. We find that he's coming back. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and to the families of the nation they shall worship before you, for the kingdom is the Lord's. Then they will come and declare his righteousness to a people that did not know him before. We find all this in Psalm 22, and a lot more. We find that God was willing to send his son Jesus Christ into the world. And in sending his son into the world, we find that Christ offers us redemption, the forgiveness of sin, a finished redemption, so we don't have to look for a new redemption because it's already been there. We were never worthy of it, but God so loved us that he gave his only son to die for us because he loved us. We cannot earn it because in a sinful nature, we cannot be holy enough to pay for it. We can't buy it. It's a gift. And that's how we must receive it. For by the grace of God through faith, it is God's gift to us. Jesus speaking, he says, the gift and the work of God is this, that you believe on his Son, Jesus Christ, who he has sent into the world. You believe. Not only know, but you believe in his name. You believe on him. You have him as your personal Lord. You have him as the one that you want to follow. You have him as the one that you want to be able to shine forth, that God's Spirit can shine forth through you and the image of Jesus Christ. And people will say, I want what you got. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would watch over us and keep us. Help us, Heavenly Father, to do your will. And help us, O God, that as we look at your word, we not only see you as a chief shepherd, the great shepherd, but you're the one who came and died for us. You're the one who was willing to leave your place in heaven for us. You're the one, Heavenly Father, that keeps us in your care. We pray that you be with us, help us as we leave this place, that your word will penetrate through our hearts and lives all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 452.